Hello, my name is Deb Quintel. I'm the Director of Curriculum Development at CALI, and today I'm speaking with Professor Ron Eads from Louis D. Brandeis School of Law at the University of Louisville. Professor Eads, welcome.
How are you, Deb?
I'm very well. How are you today?
Doing very well, thank you.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you chatting with me about torts. I understand you teach tort law and have been teaching it for a number of years. This is a common first-year course, as we all know. So let's get started. Let me ask you, first of all, what's a good way for students who are getting ready to start law school in August to begin to prepare for the study of tort law?
Well, I have been teaching torts for a long time, and I recall when I first took torts a long time ago, I went to the bookstore and bought the books, and you know, I had a book on contracts, and I had some idea what that was about, and a book on property, and I had some idea what property was about, but I had no idea what torts was about. I had never heard of that. Fortunately, it was recommended to my class to read a law review article called The Study and Teaching of Tort Law. It was written by an older professor of tort law by the name of Leon Green down at University of Texas. This article is at 34 Texas Law Review, page 1. It's a 1955 article. It's an old article, and in fact, it's so old it's not on Westlaw or Lexis, although you can get it online at a group called Hein Online, and, or I'm sure the libraries have it in a hardback copy. But this book gives you kind of an outline of what tort law is about and gives you an overview, and I always found it to be a great little article to help you get started on exactly what tort law was and a good little outline. So I would recommend for most first-year students, and I do recommend this to my class, that they start off by reading this little article, because it gives them a nice little overview of exactly what's going to happen in torts class during that first semester.
Well, let's start out with the beginning. How should students prepare for any class during the semester?
Well, usually with torts especially, there'll be a whole series of little short cases in their book that they've been assigned to. They ought to read through those cases and make notes in the book to start off with, and then go back through and brief the case. Actually write out something. The writing helps to kind of reinforce it, and the professors will give them some idea of what they're looking for. It's usually in terms of the facts, what is the issue, what's the holding, what's the reasoning, and I always recommend the students look at the procedure of the case, but they ought to read through the cases and be able to have some little notes about each of those steps in the case. And then I also recommend that either right before class or right after class, they read some sort of outside reading. There's some wonderful horn books, as they're called, in tort law. Their professor will probably recommend an outside reading. And those outside readings really help explain what they're doing. So I think to get ready for class, you read those cases, make some notes about those cases in terms of a case brief, and then read some kind of outside reading. Once you've done that, you're actually ready to go to class then.
So your case brief that you suggest students make, that would include the facts, procedural history, holding and reasoning, elements like that. That's actually what the brief is, correct?
That's correct.
Can you tell me how a typical class is structured? And I know this varies school by school, but from your experience, how is a class structured in terms of size and what sort of discussion style goes on in class?
Well, a very traditional way of doing it, and I think a lot of students will encounter this very early on, is the professor will come in and may make a little introduction, and then will ask the student to brief a case, you know, give me the case. And what the student ought to do is, if the student's got some notes there, you know, the facts, the issue, the procedural background, the holding, is just start telling the professor about the case. Now, after a week or two, a lot of times the professor won't make them go through that whole brief after the professor kind of determines that the class is kind of getting the hang of how things work, and may come in and just say, you know, what's the issue in this next case, or what did the court say about this next issue, or something like that. So after the class has been going a little while, the professor may ask very detailed questions, but, you know, if a student has carefully prepared each case with a brief like we've discussed, then no matter what the professor wants to ask, the student is ready. And so what the professor is usually doing with that is using the student's discussion of the case by asking the student's questions, maybe to brief the whole case or very specific questions, or maybe even asking about some of the notes after the case, the professor is leading the students through the, you know, the basic concepts and themes that they're being expected to learn. It really seems like sometimes to students that it's some kind of game, and sometimes not a very happy game, but actually there's a method in that madness. The professor is, rather than just telling the students what the law is and how tort law works, instead the professor is leading the student very carefully through the material, so the student learns not only the rules, but learns how to analyze the rules, how to communicate what they know back to the professor. All of those things that are going on in class actually have a purpose.
I think, as I recall law school, I was very surprised to be in a large class and having students actually being called on and responding. I remember from undergrad, I had large classes, but it was primarily lecture. And I think our message to students is that law school is going to be a little bit different. Would you agree?
Oh, yes. And you know, in a first-year class, depending upon the law school, the size of that first-year class may be anywhere from 50 to 150. And it is at sometimes very frightening for a student the first time they're called on and asked to recite a case in front of 100 of their closest friends. But that's part of what being a lawyer is like. It won't be very many years where they'll be standing up in front of a court and being expected to defend clients or to argue a case for a plaintiff. They'll be doing it in front of a judge and the other side and juries, and learning to understand the material and to express your opinion and to express it with firm belief is something that's also important for students to learn how to do. So it is quite common for a student to walk into a very large class and find themselves called on and expected to recite and to recite accurately.
Let's talk about note-taking during class. What advice would you have for a student in a torts class? Should students be trying to take verbatim notes, transcribing the entire conversation between the professor and the student who's being called on? Would you suggest students try and take notes on themes? How do you advise your students to take notes in class?
Well, I think especially with first-year students, initially they have this idea that they have to take down every word that's said because they don't know what's important and what's not, and so they get frightened and try to copy everything. And, of course, today with laptop computers and some of them able to type so well, they feel like they can take down almost every word, and that's really not necessary, and it's probably counterproductive. While they're so busy trying to take down every single word, they're missing the main themes. I think what students ought to do is, if they've read the case and briefed the case, they've got a lot of information and detail down already. Listen to what the professor is talking about. Listen to the questions that the professor is asking. The professor is trying to take the student through the important themes, through the important points, and work out those important things that are will be expected to for the student to know later. And I think if the student gets those things down, that's what's really important. Now, of course, if the professor puts an outline on board or has a PowerPoint that has a specific point that they're trying to make, I mean, those very specific points or outline that the professor is making and goes to the trouble to reproduce either on a chalkboard, a whiteboard, a smartboard, or PowerPoint presentation, the student probably ought to get those down also. But it's not necessary to take down every word that someone says in the class. It's much more important to get those major points, the major themes, and then much later compare those things that they read when they briefed the case to those major points that the professor made while they were in class.
So now I've walked out of class. I've got my case brief for the cases I read prepared before class. I've got my notes that I took during class. What should I do to try and pull all this material together? How should I think about this material now after class?
Well, I think what they ought to do is, of course, one other thing I've mentioned already is some sort of outside reading. They should be reading along the topics in a horn book or something like that, and take all of that information and begin to outline it. It's a very common thing for law students to do, to take their own notes that they've made up when they read the material, to take their class notes, and then began to outline the material. I know there are commercial outlines available, but I don't think those work as well, because one of the real learning processes that goes on is actually making the outline itself. If the student can take that material and group it, you know, under big Roman numeral 1 and big Roman numeral 2 and break that down into capital A and capital B, well, if they can do that, then they understand the material. If they can't do that, they better go back and reread the material. One of the difficulties is students sometimes wait too late to begin outlining. I think they, you know, they say, well, I'll wait till the end of the semester and start bringing this material together. And I think that's really too late. I think a student ought to begin outlining as soon as they sort of finish blocks of material. So as soon as they finish a section in the casebook or maybe a whole chapter, which might be once a week or once every 2 weeks, go back and sort of outline that material right then while it's still fresh, because that'll let them pull all of that material together that's in that section and have it ready. Also, what that will do for the student, if while they're outlining, sitting at home on the weekend trying to bring together that material in one section, it'll show up if they don't understand it. You know, they'll suddenly say, oh my, that's a little piece of that puzzle that I don't understand. That way the student can go back that following week, do a little more reading, or go talk to the professor and make sure they understand that block of material. One of the worst things to do, I think, is to wait till the very end of the semester, start trying to go back to the very beginning of the semester in outlining, only to discover that there was a whole block of material you didn't understand. So I would start the outlining process, about the second or third week of class, and then kind of keep the outlines up to date about every 2 weeks.
Well, this leads me to my next question of feedback, because the final exam at the end of the semester is the way the majority of law schools across the country test: one exam, one grade. So we've talked about the need to start studying in a way for the final earlier, but how during the semester can students get some sort of feedback as to how they're doing?
Well, one of the real complaints that students have about law school is they never get any feedback. And again, this is one of those things that feedback is happening all the time. They just don't realize it. To start off with, every time a student is called on to brief a case, they're getting feedback. Professor will lead them through the material, and they'll be able to tell whether they got the point of that case or not. Or when another student is reciting, students ought to listen. Did they get the same thing that student got out of the case? Are they able to follow the material? In a lot of case books, after each major case, there's a whole series of little notes and questions. Students ought to work through those and see if they understand them. And then a lot of times those notes cite cases. Go read them, see if they're getting them correct. Since we're doing a Cali podcast, I would recommend students use Cali lessons. There's a lot of Cali lessons in the torts area, for example, and that's a way for students to read material, read questions, try to answer the questions. Cali gives a lot of feedback. So there's a lot of ways that students can get, you know, feedback in every class that they take. Now, it's not the sort of traditional feedback where they take a weekly test, turn it in, and get a grade on it, but they can get a lot of feedback by listening in class, participating in class, doing Cali lessons, reading the notes and materials after each case.
And let me just put in a little bit of a plug here, if I can, for Cali in terms of how the materials are organized. A lot of students who are new to using the Cali lessons don't realize that they're organized both by topical subject matter, an outline, if you will, and then also they're listed according to various casebooks and the pages in the casebook that might coincide with the appropriate Cali lesson. Because I know we have so many torts lessons, and you were an author of many of them, that it's often difficult for students to negotiate through. So I've taken notes. I'm preparing my outline. What are some of the things I should be looking for in trying to get out of a torts class?
Well, I think there's a series of things, and students obviously come into the class thinking they're going to be learning rules of law, and that's part of it, but that's a minor part of it. So as they're going through these different topics and they're reading cases, what they'll want to do is read the case, get the information, make sure they've got those little rules, but it's application of the rules that is really important. When they take the final exam, what they're going to get is they're going to get a little fact scenario that looks like a problem. You know, somebody did something to someone else, and the professor will ask them to discuss the tort issues involved. And what they'll need to do is they will have to give the rule of law, but then they'll have to analyze that rule in terms of the facts they've been given. So what they're doing as they're going through the semester is they're reading cases to see how law and fact work together. When they're doing their outline, they'll want to see how law and fact work together. When they're reading notes, they see how law and fact work together. And in fact, the Cali lessons on tort law will give them little fact patterns that they have to answer questions about applying law. So it's not just learning rules of law in kind of rote memorization. It's learning to apply those rules of law to facts, and that's the real key to doing well on that final exam.
And that's what students should be practicing throughout the semester, I gather.
That's correct.
Well, I've got one last question for you, Professor Eads. Why are so many of the cases in a torts casebook so very old? I recall reading things from the early 1900s. Why is that?
Well, tort law is, like several areas of the law, is considered a common law area. And most of the law actually comes from cases. The judges get a set of facts, they read through it, and they devise a rule that works for that case. And then in a common law system, future courts will rely upon the principles articulated in those older cases. Tort law, like so many of these kinds of areas, has some wonderful old cases that have become major landmark decisions that courts still cite to today. During the course of their study of tort law, the students will all read a case called Paul Scraff versus Long Island Railroad, which was decided in the 1920s. Courts still cite that case. People writing law review articles still cite that case. Professors still debate the wisdom of the majority and the dissenting opinions in those cases. Those old cases, the ones that students will read, developed principles very early on and continue to have a real impact on how the law develops today. So this is not just some historical reference they're reading, although sometimes there is some history involved. It also, these are old cases that really have an impact on what the law continues to be.
Do you have any final words of advice for students about to start their first semester of law school?
The only additional item I would add is torts is a subject that can be a little bit deceptive in some ways. When students take property and civil procedure and contracts, it looks complicated. The facts in the cases are difficult to deal with. It's a very difficult kind of problem for them to work through. They read tort cases, and it looks easy. They've all experienced a car wreck or going to the doctor when it didn't work out quite the way they thought it should have. Or, as I frequently tell students, everybody can understand the punch in the nose, and that's what tort cases are about. So the facts seem simple. The problem is sometimes first-year students get so bogged down in their other courses and so worried about their other courses, they sort of think, well, torts is easy. I don't have to worry about it too much. Well, the facts are easy, and the facts are easy to understand, but the law and the way the law applies to those facts is still very complicated. So torts can be a little deceptive in that it looks easier than it is. So don't get kind of carried away thinking you've really got torts covered up and you don't have to work very hard at it. Look very closely at the rules and how those rules are applied to facts. That's what trips up a lot of students with torts, and that's kind of my last little word of advice.
Professor Eads, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Deb. I enjoyed talking with you.
You are listening to Cali Radio. This has been a presentation from the Center for Computer-Assisted Legal Instruction. Please visit our website at www.cali.org to download additional podcasts from Cali Radio.